Imagine. It is the morning after your wedding night, and in the light of the sun's dawning, you roll over in bed to kiss your beloved bride. Oh, it is the first day together as husband and wife. But to your shock and horror, this is not the woman that you married, or at least thought that you had married. It is the ugly older sister of your beloved. You see, your father-in-law has played a terrible trick on you with the help of a heavy bridal veil, and under the layers of that big wedding dress, he has switched the brides on you. This is not your beloved, your dream. This is not your vision of beauty. Oh, no, this is the eldest daughter, the ugly daughter, the daughter that nobody else wanted to marry, that he couldn't marry off, honestly. And so with the help of a thick veil, big dress, and a very dark tent, she's now your wife. Talk about a nightmare. It's a nightmare for Jacob, the outmaneuvered groom. It is a nightmare for Leah, the unwanted bride. It is a nightmare for Rachel, the unwed bride, who is forced by her father to participate in these deceiving games of marital charades. Imagine the hurt, the anger, disappointment, despair, all this on what was supposed to be the most wonderful day of your life. Jacob is treated and deceived into a marriage with someone he never wanted. Leah is trapped in a marriage with a husband who despises her. And Rachel has been robbed of her wedding day altogether. God's incredible, dysfunctional family. Welcome to the Bible. In all of its brutal honesty. And we wonder, what good could ever come out of this mess? That is a question that we too sometimes ask ourselves as we look at our own lives. We are told in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 28, as we heard this morning in the second reading, we know that all things work together for good, for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. Now, this is probably one of the most misquoted, misunderstood, misconstrued verses in the whole Bible. Let's hear it again. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. So often we look at the circumstances in our lives and we ask ourselves, so how could God ever work any good out of my mess or this mess? Because we like to blame our messes on others, right? Our problem is that we, by nature, we read this text from a very self-centered perspective. We tend to read into the text that something that's not there at all. The way we read it in our hearts and in our minds probably sounds more like this. We know that all things work together for my good, because obviously I love God and what I'm doing with my life is obviously pleasing to Him and is obviously according to His purposes. So, of course, I'm expecting to get my way. That's not what the text says. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. So we would ask the question, what is good? What is good? Indeed, what is the good? It is helpful to remember that the word good itself, it comes from the word God, reflecting the very nature of God. Therefore, to seek the good It is to seek God's good. It is to seek His perfect will, His righteousness, His holiness, His desires, His divine purposes. It is to seek these things in my life, in your life, in all things, in all the world. And that's why Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth." Yes. We are praying, "Lord, I want that in my life, in my daily decisions. I am praying that Your Holy Spirit will have perfect sway and control, that Thy will be done on earth, in and through me, even as Your perfect will is always done in heaven." That's a heavy prayer. And that's what we pray every single time we pray it. This prayer and this promise from God's Word, it's not about you, it's not about me. It's not about you getting your way or me getting my way. Instead, it is all about me and you, we together totally yielding ourselves, our life, your life, my life to Jesus, to the fulfillment of His divine purpose for His kingdom's sake. We know that all things, yes, all things. What a statement of faith and trust. We know that all things work together for good, God's good, for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Sometimes we ask, how can God ever work any good out of this for me? And then we must confess that this is a selfish question. Whoever said it was all about you or all about me, we know that the true purpose in life, it is to live for God and for His eternal purposes. The amazing thing is that when we totally yield ourselves to Jesus, totally give ourselves over to Him, then it is then that He works His miracles. The idea of working good out of good, well, that's no big deal. Anybody can work good out of good. But God reveals His glory and His power and His majesty, especially when He takes that which is broken and shattered, a total mess, and out of it, He creates joy. Blessing. A self-righteous, self-satisfied, self-fulfilled life is pretty worthless to Jesus. But a broken, a repentant sinner, that's the kind of stuff the great saints are made from. When we confess our sins and we turn to Jesus, God does awesome things. It is the miracle of the mustard seed that we heard about in today's gospel lesson, from such a tiny thing, something so seemingly of no value, no worth. God grows an awesome tree. It is from such an inauspicious beginning that God works His miracles so that we might know that it's not us, but Him. Awesome miracles from inauspicious beginnings, like a little shepherd boy who became King David, a simple fisherman who becomes the Apostle Peter, a peasant girl from Galilee who becomes Mary, the mother of our Lord, and an infant, a peasant infant, born in a stable, lying in a feeding trough. Oh, who would ever have thought? Our greatness is never in ourselves, but it is only in doing the will of God. So what of Jacob the betrayed, and Leah the despised, and Rachel the cheated? What good could or would God possibly ever be able to work out of this mess of lies and deceit? God's divine plan, Jacob will need both Leah and Rachel to be his wives. For through Leah and Rachel and their two handmaids, Bilhah and Zilpah, will be born the 12 sons of Jacob. And God will change Jacob's name to Israel. So they will become the 12 sons of Israel, and they will become the 12 tribes of Israel. And it is through them that Jesus, our Messiah, Savior, the Savior of the world, will be born. What good could ever possibly come through this incredibly dysfunctional family mess? Jesus, the Savior of the world. Indeed, it is good to know that Jesus is a descendant of David, King David, and he just happens to be from the tribe of Judah, and Judah just happens to be the son of not Rachel, catch this, not Rachel, who Jacob planned to marry. Oh, no. He is the son that comes from Leah that he was tricked into marrying. Oh, truly, my ways are not your ways, says the Lord. Never underestimate the power of God, the power of God to work good out of the worst mess, out of the most unlikely when we give our lives totally, completely over to him. I received this email from a friend and found it especially timely. It's called Biblical Losers. It says, the next time you feel like God can't use you, well, just remember, Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy, well, they were just too young. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Jonah ran away from God. Naomi was a widow. Job was bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter denied Christ. Martha worried about everything. Zacchaeus was too small, and Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer. The disciples all fell asleep while they were praying, and the Samaritan woman was divorced more than once, and Lazarus was dead. So, now no more excuses. Yield your life to Jesus totally this day, and just see what God'll do. Amen. Let's stand and sing the hymn of the day.